to the Women of Power, our show here today on Facebook and YouTube. My name is Laura Topper, and I am feeling very, very excited. This is the premier Women of Power Hour show for 2023, and what a way to kick off with an incredible power guest who is waiting in the wings. She's backstage, and I'm very excited for Sabrina Victoria to be here, to be sharing her story, to be inspiring me and us and whoever is watching this or gets to view this at any moment, of how we can live more fully, more meaningfully, and more powerfully, and to live into the truth of what it is that we're here to do, and to know our own purpose, and to be getting on with that in this life. So I'm just going to read a little out about Sabrina here from her website. She is, who is she? This is what is on the about page of her own website. She's the creator and CEO of Human Better 365, Sober Society, and her version, and the Jacket Junkie. Can't wait to find out what that's all about. She's a speaker, entrepreneur, and author of Envision Your Best Life, a 90-day planner, and creator of Catapult Your Life in 365 Days. And she's a self-proclaimed queen of time. I mean, I could read on and on because there are so many amazing things in her biography here on her website. So I'd rather not read it out and rather bring Sabrina in here right now so that she can share and talk about what it is that she does and how she got to where she is, and to inspire us all with the love from her heart. Hi, Sabrina. Welcome to the Women of Power Hour.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Isn't this great? We're across the airwaves. You were on Gina's broadcast last year, not long ago, and Gina reached out to me and said, "You've got to have this incredible guest come onto your show." And here you are right now. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. 2023, here we come.
2023. And what does 2023 look like for you?
Oh, so much goodness. So much goodness. I have been working diligently. I shouldn't even say working. I should say building. I have been building diligently, and big things, really big things, the next big things. I work on a 5-year and a 12-year plan at the same time. So I've got all of my graphs and my numbers and my my focus and my goals set, and super, super excited for all the goodness.
So let's delve in. Let's understand. I'd really love to understand and to know more about you and who you are and what it is that you're really doing. I know that you're bringing community together. You bring women together. It's about the individual and the collective. And as you bring women together, you inspire them to share their own story so that they can inspire others to really live a meaningful and fulfilled life. What actually, how did you get to that, to doing this? What was the moment for you? It's like, oh my, 'cause that's not something that just happens. I mean, it's like, it does just happen, but often there's like a kind of a spark of, okay, this is what I have to do. What was it for you?
Looking back now, as far as where I am right now, as far as my power, my voice, the community that I'm building, I never in a million years would have thought any of this. I was like the shyest, like timid, hiding behind my mom's skirt little girl for a very long time. But a little bit about me, a little bit about my backstory. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's a fairly strict religion. There's a lot of black and white, not so much gray areas as a lot of religions are nowadays. And everything was fine until I ended up pregnant at the age of 20 with no husband. And when that happened, I was what's called disfellowshipped. And that means that you are completely disassociated from your entire family and your entire community, basically everyone and everything that you had ever known. So when you're raised as a Jehovah's Witness, you are told to only communicate with Jehovah's Witnesses. So you have no outside communication with what they call worldly people or anyone that's not a Jehovah's Witness. So what happens is when you sin like that, when you're thrown out, you don't have anybody because you haven't made any relationships outside of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So I was completely isolated. And that's a lot of where my drive comes from as far as creating community in the world that I'm in now, because I lacked it so much in a very detrimental, volatile, vulnerable point in my life. I mean, I was 20 years old and I was pregnant. It was a big deal.
That must have felt so, you must have felt so, I don't know, just alone. Just so alone.
Yes, very much
how
alone.
Did you what did you do? How did you cope emotionally? What was the form of emotional intelligence? Or was there any, or was there not any? What was
there wasn't any. Yeah, there wasn't any. I was just flailing around. I don't even, looking back now, I don't even know sometimes how I did it. I did a really emotional post about a year ago when my son turned 18 years old. The beginning lines were, I can't even believe that we're both still here. Like, I honestly thought we would both be dead at this point, because the amount of times I contemplated suicide, the amount of times that I wanted to run away, the amount of times I wanted to drive my car off a bridge, I don't even know how I did it. One of the things that I am so grateful for, one of the things that I practice continuously at the age that I am now, is showing so much gratitude and so much love for the Sabrina who was 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24, who didn't give up and who kept taking steps forward, even though she didn't know what it would look like, even though there was no food in the bank account. I mean, I had a rolling balance of about negative $172 in my bank account at any given time. I mean, I had no money. I was working a minimum wage job. My car was being towed out of the parking lot, you know, repoed. I had eviction notices on my apartment door every other month. I mean, it was a complete state of anxiety and stress, unworthiness, lots of crying in the bathroom, just turmoil, absolute turmoil.
So I wonder, having come from the family that you were brought up in, and that was your chosen family of origin and their belief system and the religious belief system, where did you turn to for, what did you turn to for faith? What was your kind of go-to of to keep you knowing that this too is God expressing, and that I can get through this surrendering to a higher power?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The relationship that I had with God was incredibly tumultuous, or whatever that word is, during this time. I mean, there would be eras where I was all in and other eras where I was like, this is just bullshit. Excuse my language. I had a lot of love and I had a lot of hate in my life at that time. And to make things just a little more volatile, you know, when I probably about a year or two in while living like this, I wound up meeting a man who had red flags stapled all over his body. But I was just in such a state of lack that I didn't have any means of self-worth or self-love or self-esteem. And so I fell into that relationship just grasping for any sort of attention or any sort of affection that I could find from anybody, because I was just so lost. And that relationship led me down a whirlwind, just a roller coaster of toxicity, narcissism, really allowed me eventually to find my path as far as my codependency issues and, you know, high empathetic vibes. But it took a long time, you know, dealing with verbal abuse, mental abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse, over the course of years and years and years before I finally opened up a book and listened to a few people. I know the first person that I actually came to as far as personal development was actually Joel Osteen, who runs a church in Texas. And I just fell in love with all of the words that he was speaking as far as power and confidence, and that we're worthy. And really kind of looking around at my relationship and realizing that the life that I had with this person was not healthy. But just being naive, just being kind of dumb and not necessarily recognizing that it was unhealthy, just kind of thinking that it was normal maybe.
And I think that can be a trait of ours. It's a universal, it's a collective idea that if we get it wrong, or if we're with somebody that is not shining that light through us and for us and as us, and that we don't feel supported, that then, you know, I hear that when you're saying that, that you were the one that was naive and you were the one that, you know, that basically got it wrong. And I'd like to just switch that round, because we only know what we know as we know it when we're doing it. We're doing the best that we can in that moment.
Yeah.
With what we know. And then we grow and we learn, and then we walk into a center or a church or a spiritual center or a self-development group, pick up a book, and we see it differently.
Yeah, definitely. And that is where I am right now as far as building out the community that I'm building out, Her Nation. And it all drives on the cusp of that, of if I would have heard stories, if I would have had a community, if I would have been able to ask questions, the amount of time that I would have spent in that darkness would have been a lot shorter. So my idea is, can we educate, can we open up the eyes of individuals just a little bit sooner than maybe they would have, in order to shorten the amount of trauma that people are going through in their lives, so that they can then, you know, educate themselves, rise, and then, you know, continue to kind of break those cycles so that we can mentally and emotionally evolve as human beings.
So what was it that really pulled you into, I mean, I hear, you know, what you went through obviously was a huge shift of, I've got to do something. What was your first move? What did you do to get this community going initially?
Ooh. Yeah. So when I was in that relationship, I was 8 years in when I fell into personal development. I was on the floor in the bathroom in the dark, crying my eyes out, completely helpless. I had no money in my bank account. The abuse, mental and emotional abuse, was just through the roof every single day, being told I was an idiot and I was dumb and I didn't know anything. And I was ghetto and I was trash, and I, you know, Hispanic background. So, you know, ghetto Mexican trash, anything that he could do to kind of throw hurtful words towards me. And I'm on the bathroom on the floor, just having a total mental breakdown from whatever had gone on that day. And I opened up my phone and I Googled for the very first time, why is my boyfriend bullying me? Because I didn't know any other vernacular other than bullying. And that's when the entire world of narcissistic abuse, empathy, codependency just kind of hit me right in the face. And along with that was the whole world of personal development, power, voice, and the importance of women having money. And so literally within a couple of months of that happening, maybe even a couple of weeks, I don't even know, I opened up a secret bank account and I started a secret business. Over the course of 4 years, I wound up starting 3 secret businesses, and I was able to collect $50,000 over the course of those 4 years to escape. My very first thing that I started was just eBay. I just kind of started selling my son's clothes. I would take maybe 5 or 6 items, throw them in the trunk of my car, drive them to the office, take pictures, you know, when he was watching, when my partner was watching TV, or wasn't at the house or when I was at the office, because I worked with him too. He was also my boss at, by this point. And so, yeah, just 10 items, 12 items. I had like goals that I was setting for myself as far as how much money I needed by so many, you know, so much time in order to have enough money to escape. So I started like tracking my money and investing my money. And soon after that, I started on Fiverr.com, which is like near and dear to my heart, even to this day. And then I eventually wound up the last year, wound up opening my personal development, health, wellness, yoga, Reiki, you know, meditation type stuff, veganism, and started making money off of programs that I was selling and stuff like that. So it was definitely a course or journey, you know, to get to that point of collecting $50,000. But literally just one day, it was June, and I took my son, our clothes, and my bicycle. I left everything else behind, and I started all over again with a mattress on the floor, and started building up my business. So that was kind of the catalyst for it. Literally the very first day, maybe not the very first day, but I feel like it was the first day, I opened up a little YouTube channel, and the little YouTube channel was called Her Version, her being me. And it was an area for me to be able to speak my truth, my story, my perspective of what happened to me. Because obviously my version is different than my parents' version. It's different than the clerk, you know, the elders at the Jehovah's Witness, you know, Kingdom Hall's version. It's different than my ex's version, baby daddy's version. So they're all different. But I needed a place for me to be able to speak, because what I had gone through was so dark. It was so dark. And I just felt this power. I'm like, people need to know. Women need to know that we have choices. They need to know that we need money. They need to know, you know, the rules with, you know, the whole issue that I went through with my son's father was ridiculous during that time. So I'm just like, I need to be able to share this stuff. And what happened is, as I'm sharing these stories, women started coming out of the woodwork and they started saying like, hey, your story is like my story, or I can relate to this story so much, or thank you so much for sharing your story. I am now taking the step.